1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Social media was once again full of brand wins and fails last year. How to communicate and how not to communicate. We had phallic spaceships. We had the head coach of the Springboks, Rassie Erasmus, letting it all hang out with that infamous Lions video that was leaked online, or leaked, I should say, in inverted commas. And then really letting it all hang out over December during his ban, showing everyone that he's human. But what stood out? Well, we've had the July unrest. And of course, we had the death of our beloved Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu. We've had the climate conference, COP21. There was a lot going on. What were the blunders and the rays of light? Well, Christina Kennedy of Flow Communications has her finger on the social media pulse. And Christina, welcome to the show. One of the big risks for brands, obviously, is when you use social media, that campaigns can be overwhelmed by trolls. How did brands deal with this last year?
Thank you, Michael. I think some brands dealt with it very well. You know, we saw, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic and the vaccination drive, some brands like game stores actually had great incentives. They offered 10% off on Wednesdays if you're vaccinated. Others, the incentives weren't that great. Like Wimpy offering free coffee, to me, that wasn't too hot. And the trolls did climb on them on social media.
I suppose the lesson there is, once again, to be authentic, but also to understand what true value is and what is going to switch your market on and off. Because social media provides that instant platform where people can call out a sale versus something that is clearly not. And I've seen that in Black Friday over the last few years, that Black Friday initially were copying the Americans and 50% or more off. That was Black Friday. Now you see brands offering 15% off, and I think social media very quick to jump on that. What went viral on social media last year?
I think a lot of people were looking for humor, Michael, and I think we also saw this with the rise of TikTok. People were looking for fun stuff. They were looking for light stuff. They were looking for, you know, viral videos. They were looking for my creepy teacher, which was a send-up of my octopus teacher.
Yes.
They were looking for comedy. So, you know, and a lot of the young stars as well are coming up, like Lazizwe. We saw him go absolutely through the stratosphere and you know, catapult into super influencer status. And it's all about fun and it's escapism. And heaven knows we needed some of that last year.
Well, it is, again, to be something of a tonic for all of the doom scrolling we're doing, isn't it? And I even, working in the media, you can't not doom scroll because ultimately you have to have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. And the old adage is, if it bleeds, it leads. But surely that can't be very good for societal mental health in the future.
It isn't. And I think, you know, a lot of us were preoccupied with doom scrolling and seeing, oh, you know, the stats and, you know, what is happening and what are the numbers. And it's totally counterproductive. And, you know, it has been, you know, scientifically proved that it increases the levels of the stress hormones and that, you know, it increases your anxiety levels. So if you're already anxious about the pandemic and about your work and that kind of thing, you know, to keep on consuming this stuff on social media is really, really bad for your health. Hence, we like turning to videos like the Alugalug cat, you know, by the Kiffness and all of David Scott's other videos, which are a great tonic to that doom scrolling.
And you think of brands like Nando's here as well, who've probably come off the boil a little bit of late, but those brands who understand that, who want to give you something light and something as an escape from all of the doom scrolling that we're doing. What about cyberbullying? And I think mental health, and I mentioned it earlier, that was really brought to the fore when Naomi Osaka raised the issue. We've then had gymnast Simone Biles at the Olympics also pull out because of mental health. How are we seeing cyberbullying play out?
Michael, it's just awful. And you know, with Flow Communications being in digital marketing, we have to keep an eye on social media all the time to tap into these conversations. And one that I thought was particularly distressing was the climate activist Vanessa Nakate from Uganda. who's one of the continent's most prominent activists. And she was taking part in a conference with Greta Thunberg and others. And the Associated Press, in their publicity material, they cropped her out. And so you had these four or five young white women who were participating in the conference, and Vanessa was cut out. And it was said to be inadvertent, but it is, you know, omission is a form of erasure, and you have to be very careful as a media outlet or a brand what you are doing.
Yeah, just be mindful. And often when I'm producing panels for Business Day TV, it's not that you just want representation for representation's sake, but being mindful of context and how sometimes the optics, to use one of those hackneyed business phrases, can detract from the message. And really important that. Are there any brands who are doing well in this space, who've maybe redeemed themselves?
Yes, definitely. Well, Dove immediately comes to mind. I mean, Dove famously had the controversy over its ad where you had a black woman taking off a T-shirt and becoming a white woman. And that just caused a huge furore. But they've come up with a new advert, which is more, and, you know, coming back to the cyberbullying, it's about body positivity. It's their reverse selfie campaign, because, of course, young girls in particular are very much vulnerable to that kind of cyberbullying and the pressure and the stigma of not looking like perfect online and how many Instagram likes you get. So they have definitely redeemed themselves, I think.
Well, it goes to show as well that brands are looking at what they're doing online and at least learning from it as well. But in an online world that is also filled with a lot of fake news, and not just cyberbullying, we've got hidden agendas, all of that. Who can we trust?
You know, Michael, I trust the geeks. I trust the geeks and the scientists and the statisticians, because everyone, as you say, does have an agenda. So, you know, the certain accounts that I follow on Twitter, like Ridwan Suleiman, he works for the CSIR, and Sugan Naidu, he's a teacher, and they produce these wonderful, well-thought-out graphs and flow charts. And, you know, it's very, you can see objectively what's going on, and they do interpret them for the layperson. So, you know, I was quite interested to see how maths and science can be made really cool, you know, because this is showing it in action and how it can be used. It's not just a dry subject that we do at school.
Absolutely. Ridwan Suleiman, one of those that I absolutely adore on Twitter, the CSIR researcher. He's got a bit of a dry sense of humor as well, but he does, he tweets without agendas. And in an era of misinformation around the vaccine and the pandemic in particular, you know, it's individuals like that that really give you a lot of faith and hope. And I know there are a lot of good intentions online as well, but often they say the road to hell is paved with those very same good intentions.
Oh, it definitely is. And you know, brands often get it wrong, just as much as they get it right and they get celebrated for it. Burger King, for example, on International Women's Day, they wanted to highlight the fact that only 20% of professional chefs are women. So they try and grab attention with this tweet that says, "Women belong in the kitchen." Of course, it totally backfired, and people did not care what the, you know, the thread of the tweet was. They just said, this is sexist, it's misogynist, you know, and Burger King had to backtrack very quickly and apologize. It's a pity, because they had a good initiative. You know, they want to encourage, they've got an initiative to encourage more women to pursue culinary careers. But this is a classic case of just be careful what you tweet, because it can and will be misconstrued.
And not reading the room. I mean, sometimes, and it's one of those phrases that we say in social media, you're just not reading the room and the social context. But I think even no matter what the context, validating sexism, even if you're doing it in a very satirical way, is dangerous ground to be treading upon, especially at this time where we've got such heightened sensitivities around all of these social issues. If you were to look at a brand that is getting online or social media marketing right, who would you single out?
Well, I think without a doubt, Spotify. You know, I think one of the big trends for the future in social media and digital media is personalization. You know, personalizing content and customizing content towards the consumer without invading their privacy. And Spotify's annual Wrapped campaign, which basically it wraps up, you know, your music preferences and artists that you've been listening to for the whole year. And it presents it to you in this neat little package in December. And it's a great way for them to say, hey, we care about you. This is what we're giving you in return for your subscription. But also you have the option to share this on social media. And we're introducing a gaming element and all of these things and quizzes. So it is really, it's encouraging people to share. But Spotify Wrapped was trending for a couple of days in December last year. And I think it's a great initiative, and they've definitely got it right.
Well, there we have it, Christina Kennedy of Flow Communications, with the good, the bad, and the epic fails in social media, lessons that we learned in 2021 here on Hot Business.
Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.